So I'd like to start off by telling you some stories. These are not some of my personal stories, but some stories about Srila Prabhupada that I think really exemplifies for me some of the ways that Prabhupada shows or in groups. I got the microphone. And I've given you the books so that you can refer to the books, and that I've given you the list so that you can refer to the list of the 26 qualities. And this research as to how the 26 qualities have been referred to differently throughout the scriptures, I can't take credit for that. That was done by the devotees at Bhaktivedanta Manor. So if you're impressed, don't be impressed with me on the handout. I just copied it from their work. And after doing that, then you remember that yesterday we were working on plans to spread Prabhupada's glories. So then we're going to work on a plan as to how we personally can, within the next week, take one of these Vaishnava qualities and increase our own quality of that quality or quantity of that quality. Do you understand what I mean? So either the amount that we have of it or the degree that we have. So not too long ago at Juhu in Bombay, they were celebrating the 25th anniversary of founding of the temple. Was anyone here at that celebration? So you were there. So you might be bored by this story, but hopefully you won't mind hearing it again. As Sridhar Maharaj invited me to come to the celebration, and when I was there, I heard some of the most amazing stories from one of the devotees there. Definitely the most amazing how I came to Krishna consciousness story, and some of the most touching stories about Srila Prabhupada. So this one devotee said that he was raised as a street boy, didn't know his mother and father, and grew up living on the streets in Bombay by stealing. One of these little ragtag boys you see on the street. Spent a lot of time in and out of jail for stealing. And one time when he was in jail, he got a back to Godhead. Prabhu, you can take a book and a handout right there. Prabhu? There's a book and a handout right there you can take. So one time when he was in prison, he's got a back to Godhead magazine. And in the back to Godhead, there was a picture of Srila Prabhupada. And the picture of Srila Prabhupada, he saw that Prabhupada was wearing a very nice watch. So he decided that when he got out of prison, he was going to find this man and steal his watch. So, and I'm not telling the story nearly as well as he told his own story. I mean, we were practically rolling on the floor laughing. Anyway, so he got out of jail. And he found the address of the newly established temple, which was barely a temple in Juhu. And he went there. Prabhupada was not there at the time. And he said that for all the other devotees, it was very austere. You know, they were living in this hut with rats and hardly enough to eat. But for him, it was like a palace because he had always been living in the street. So he started doing regular service, and they told him, you know, you'll get to meet Prabhupada. So he was just hoping he'd meet Prabhupada. In the meantime, he's doing regular service and eating prasadam, and after a few days or a week or something, Vishakha gave him some japa beads, and he started chanting regularly, and pretty soon he's chanting 16 rounds, and, you know, he's doing regular service and going on like that, and of course he's becoming a little purified. So after some time, Srila Prabhupada comes somewhere nearby, and he hears that Prabhupada's there, and he goes to the devotee in charge, and he says, I want to go see Srila Prabhupada. And the devotee in charge says, but we need you here. He's doing a lot of service. He says, but I really want to go see Srila Prabhupada. So the devotee says, well, all right, I'll give you a train ticket, but you have to come right back. You can stay just like one night, I think it was. So all right, he agrees. He gives his word. He says, I promise you I'll come back immediately. So the temple president gives him, it was not much of a temple, but the temple president gives him a train ticket. So he goes to where Srila Prabhupada was. And everything was very small at that time in India. And he got to go in Srila Prabhupada's room. He offers obeisances to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada says, "So, why have you come?" And he said, "Srila Prabhupada, actually, I came to steal your watch." And so Prabhupada goes and he says, "Here." So, of course, you know, generally in this world, you know, if someone comes to me and says, "You know, I want to take your watch," "Come here, you're taking my watch." "It's my watch. Where are you taking my watch?" And Prabhupada said, "Here." And then this devotee says, "No, that's all right. I don't want it anymore." Prabhupada said, "So you'll stay here?" And he said, "No, I told the temple president back at Juhu that I would come back." Prabhupada said, "Then you have to go back." So he went back to Juhu, and he said he had such a habit of stealing. He said first that when he would go out, he had the service of shopping for the deities. He said first sometimes if he would steal some of the deities' money. And then one of the other devotees told him, "You know, if you're stealing the deities' money, it's like you're taking Prabhupada's blood," so he stopped. He said, though, for years, if he didn't have enough money to buy things for the deities, he'd steal from the people on the streets to get enough money. He said it took him years to give up that habit of doing that, like 2 or 3 years before he stopped doing that. You know, he was his whole life, he'd been a thief. He said that that one time when he was out shopping for the deities, actually he said many times that if after he'd buy things for the deities, if there was some money left over, he would buy like some chocolate bar. And one time he had bought a chocolate bar and he stuck it in his bead bag. And he came back to the temple when Prabhupada was visiting the temple. And he went by Prabhupada's room and he offered obeisances outside Prabhupada's door and the chocolate bar fell out of the bead bag. Prabhupada says, "What?" He motioned him into his room. He says, "What is this?" He takes it and Prabhupada opens it up. He takes a little taste. He says, "What is this?" And he looks at the ingredients. He said, Prabhupada said to him, "We do not take this. This is intoxicants in it." He says, "Why are you eating this?" He says, "I like sweets, Srila Prabhupada." He said, "Oh." And that night, Prabhupada personally cooked him a pot of halva, a great big pot of halva, and had it sent to his room for him so he could have sweets. So after he'd been in the temple, I think he said it was 2 years. And he didn't know very good English at all. And he didn't even know Hindi, only knew Marathi. I mean, he wasn't educated. He'd received no formal education. He was a street boy. So he said Prabhupada came to the temple to do an initiation, but he was in the kitchen washing the pots, and he said his clothes were all black. You know, when you're washing, the bottom of the pots are black, and his clothes were covered with black. And he said to the head of the kitchen, "I want to go see what Prabhupada's doing in the temple room." And the head of the kitchen says, "No, no, no, we need you here." He says, "But I want to go see Prabhupada. I want to see what Prabhupada's doing." "No, no, we need you here. But I want to see what Prabhupada's doing." "I'll just be 10 minutes, then I'll come right back." "All right, you can go for 10 minutes to see Prabhupada, and then you have to come back." Okay. So he goes in the temple room. Prabhupada's starting the jagya. There's so many people. And Prabhupada sees him. He says, "Come sit down." And Prabhupada calls him up, and he says, "So, do you chant 16 rounds?" "Yes, Srila Prabhupada." He says, "You follow the four principles?" "What are the four principles?" He says, "I don't know, Srila Prabhupada." He says, "Yes, you know. What are they?" "No eating meat, fish, or eggs." And he tells him, he says, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada knows," and then he repeats them. He said, "So, where is your beads?" "So they're in my room," and Prabhupada handed him his own beads. And then Prabhupada asked him, "So what is your name?" He said, "I don't know, Srila Prabhupada." He didn't know his parents. He said he'd use so many different names. He said every time he was arrested, he'd just make up a new name for the police. He didn't know what his name was. He said, "I don't know what my name is, Srila Prabhupada." He said, "But the devotees here have called me Haridas." Prabhupada said, "All right, then your name is Haridas." So I was really enjoying that story. And he's still a very nice devotee. One other story that I really like is the one that Shruti Kirti Prabhu told us about when he was on a plane with Srila Prabhupada and they had brought some puffed rice. You know what puffed rice is, right? To eat on the plane. And they had sat down in the airplane. Most of you have been on planes? Most have been on planes, okay. So you understand how strange this story is. So they sit down on the plane and they, you know, pull down the little tables and they're taking out the puffed rice to eat. And the stewardess walks by in the aisle and she sees this puffed rice and she reaches over and she just grabs some right out of where Prabhupada was eating, and she just eats it, and she says, oh, this is very good. And Prabhupada was just smiling, and he was very happy. What I'd like all of you to do now, either you can either do it in individually or in groups, is if you don't have paper or writing material, there's blank paper there and there's pens over there. Is I'd like you to, obviously you're not going to do this for all 26 qualities. You could pick one or two or three. I'd like you to think of some story you know about Srila Prabhupada, something you know about him that exemplifies some of these qualities of a devotee. And if you can't think of anything, then you can refer to this little booklet that I've given you. You're welcome to keep these booklets, of course. And if you want to get in groups to get some ideas from each other, you can also do that. And why don't we take about 15 minutes to do that? Okay, so you can either work on your own or you can work in groups. To please think of some, either some of Prabhupada's activities in general, some specific stories, something about Srila Prabhupada that exemplifies. Do it for at least one quality. If you can do it for two or three or four or five, then that would be very nice. Okay, so I'm wondering if any of you have any that you'd like to share with the group. Yes.
There's a story about when Srila Prabhupada was in Amsterdam.
This is on? Oh, okay.
There's a story about when Srila Prabhupada was in Amsterdam, which illustrates the qualities of humility, aniha, aniha.
Okay.
And also the quality maitra, friendly, and also the quality manada, offers respect to everyone. The story goes as follows. It was a program in the Amsterdam temple. I don't exactly remember at what occasion this was. Maybe it was the installation of Lord Jagannath, or maybe it was an initiation. In any case, the devotees hadn't properly organized the program. And then Prabhupada rightfully became upset because he had to instruct them to tell them what to do in this case. Okay. Prabhupada became angry, and then a new bhakta was there in the room. And this particular devotee had been told many times in the time that he had been in the temple that whenever you feel that you get angry, just chant Hare Krishna. So take your beat bag out and chant the holy name. So then this new bhakta, he saw that Prabhupada got angry. And then he told Prabhupada right out, just chant Hare Krishna. And then Prabhupada was so humble that he took out his beat bag and started chanting.
Thank you very much. That's a wonderful, wonderful story. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else would like to share something? Yes.
This story was told by one Matari, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada.
And which quality?
In the Los Angeles temple. This is equal to everyone. She was saying, when Srila Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan, before he came to the West, this is from the... So some of his disciples, they spoke to some Vrajvasi Vaishnavas. And there was one devotee who wanted to see Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was staying in the Damodar temple, around the Damodar temple. So he visited him. It was a very simple room. All kinds of insects could come inside. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting and chanting japa, very concentrated. He was in a transcendental state of consciousness. And then suddenly he saw in the room a scorpion. He was approaching him. He became nervous. Shall I disturb Prabhupada? It's not right to disturb a Vaishnava when he's chanting. So he became restless. And then slowly Prabhupada opened his eyes. And he asked, what is wrong? And his devotee pointed to the scorpion. Prabhupada looked and he said, oh, leave him, he's also a devotee.
Anyone else have something they'd like to share? Yes?
First, the story came, and then I tried to find the quality. I'm not so sure it completely matches, but Kripalu, unable to tolerate the suffering of others. There is this book, My Glorious Master, by Purujan Prabhu, where he tells that he and his wife were...
Yes, put the microphone maybe closer. Is it on? Okay.
Too loud or...
Too soft.
Oh.
Make it, put it closer.
They were preaching in Japan in the 70s, and they were really struggling, and all this... No one came almost, and all this time they were thinking, is Prabhupada thinking of us? Is anyone remembering us? And then he tells the story that after that, once maybe it's Shuta Kirti Prabhu, he was sitting with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was sitting in meditation, and suddenly he started crying, and then he asked him, Prabhupada, why are you crying? And he said that he's thinking of his two disciples struggling in Japan. So I was reading it. It was very touching.
Okay, so what quality do you think that we could put then? Or anyone have some inspiration?
Unable to tolerate the suffering of others.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's not the same kind of suffering, but still, just a thought.
Unable to tolerate the suffering of others. That sounds good. Thank you. Someone else? Yes.
It's a similar one, but I put it under Karuna, compassionate, merciful, sympathetic, acting always due to compassion, not personal ambition. But this is a story told by Moksha Lakshmi Mataji.
Yes, okay.
And on
can you put the microphone a little closer also? Yeah.
On one occasion, apparently there was some program in Marble Arch, one end of... Oxford Street in London, and the temple's the other end of Oxford Street, Berry Place. And so they had to take a car from Marble Arch to Berry Place, and some or other Mother Moksha Lakshmi was sitting in the back of the car with, I think, she was in the car with Prabhupada, and she saw, as they were just going slowly down Oxford Street, she saw Srila Prabhupada, tears begin to fall down Prabhupada's cheeks, and she thought, oh no, we've upset Prabhupada somehow. And she was all worried, and then she said, Prabhupada, what's the matter? And he just gestured to all the people on the street, on Oxford Street, where they're supposed to be enjoying themselves, shopping and whatever they're doing. And he was just so compassionate towards them that he could see that they were suffering so much. So that's Karuna, I think.
Thank you. Somebody else? Yes.
I just heard this morning this story. It was Prabhupada was with, it's about being seen. And so Prabhupada was on a morning walk with his disciples, and it was in the beginning of Krishna consciousness movement. And then there was a very nice house, and then so Prabhupada said, one day we will have a house like this for Krishna. And all the disciples, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And then they went on, and then there was a car passing by. And then Srila Prabhupada said, one day we will have a nice car for Krishna. And the disciples, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And then they went on. And then there was a dog going by. And then Srila Prabhupada said, one day we will have a nice dog for Krishna. And the disciples, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada, what are you saying? What do we need a dog for Krishna? So he wanted to show us that we don't follow blindly like this.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, I want us to do now a thing where we plan to ourselves follow Vaishnava qualities, and I would like to demonstrate this. So I thought that I could be the victim. And I'll ask for another victim, volunteer, to guide me. Now, one of you who was very good and brought the handout from yesterday. Did anybody do that? I asked people to do that, but probably no one did. If you didn't, then you can use mine, because of course I brought mine. I need some volunteer. Have a volunteer, please. I'm going to be the victim, don't worry. You will not have to be the victim. I'm going to be the victim, but I need a volunteer who's going to work with me. Come on, do I have to pick somebody? Okay. Do you have the handout from yesterday? Yes. All right. You need a chair. All right. Oh, all right. The floor here is funny, though, and it's slippery. You can like easily slip off of it. It's not done very well. So I was trying to think of which, since I need to develop all of these qualities desperately, I was trying to think of which one. So why don't we take Shanta, which means peaceful, satisfied, and controlling the mind. So why don't I decide that I want to become peaceful. Now what I'm going to do here is I'm going to intentionally do this wrong and then try to get me to fix it. So I'm coming to you. You know, you're like, you're the temple president or something, or you're my friend, and I'm telling you that I have a problem with developing this Vaishnava quality, and see if you can ask me, and I'll help you. I'll kind of switch roles a little bit and help you, and see if you can ask me kind of the right questions to get me to do this in the well-form plan. All right. I want to stop getting so disturbed all the time. Every time there's some problem, my mind just gets totally disturbed. I want to be able to control my mind.
So, what is a positive thing that you could do to, rather than worrying about what you're not doing, that you're not controlling your mind, state it positively?
Oh, I guess I could be... I guess when there's problems, I could just be, I don't know, just happy, I guess, right?
Well, that's a start, but maybe you could be a bit more specific. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if other people would just leave me alone and be nice to me, then I could be peaceful.
Yeah, but...
I mean, if the head of the kitchen would just simply, you know, wash the pots on time, and if the temple commander would just get things done on time... Then I could be peaceful. That's the problem. I mean.
But are there actions in your control, under your control? So maybe something that's within your own control you can try to do.
Well, I don't know.
What could you do?
What could I do? I'm not sure. What could I do? What could I do? I don't know. Is there something I could do?
So, what's the problem?
The problem is that, well, I want to be able to just, you know, when there's things that bother me, you know, like there aren't any... I'm supposed to cook the noon offering and all the pots are dirty and nobody bought any boga. I mean, here I'm supposed to cook the Raj boga and there's nothing to cook with. There's no vegetables and there's no clean pots and I have to get the offering done on time. And I go there and I'm just completely disturbed. So I want to be able to be just peaceful.
So is there a plan you could come up with to get some help?
Well, I don't know. So next thing is specificity. So you could ask me, you know, are there specific, what could you do, what could you think, what could you feel that would be peaceful? Like we could ask, if you were peaceful, if you were a peaceful person, you can ask a person to imagine the perfect state. Like, let's say that you were peaceful. What would you be thinking, feeling, and doing in that state? So, you know, I go and I want to be peaceful. I want to be, but I don't know what to do.
Okay, so if you were peaceful, how would you feel? How would it be?
Well, I guess I'd feel kind of that Krishna was taking care of me. Go to the whole wheel. The other ones, feelings, thoughts, and...
Oh, right, I see. Okay. Well, we talked about feelings. So what thoughts would be going through your mind?
What would I be thinking? I'd be thinking... I guess I'd be thinking, well, these things just happen sometimes, and... Maybe sometimes I leave a mess for people, and you know, sometimes in the world we have to be tolerant.
That's very good. So, and what will you do then?
Well, I could start chanting Hare Krishna. You know, I have some songs I really like about Krishna. I could start singing them kind of loudly, maybe to block out the bad thoughts in my mind, at least if there's no brahmacharis in the kitchen that I'd be disturbing. Or at least I could just sort of chant quietly, at least if there's any brahmacharis around. And I could just make sure I get in the kitchen early enough, because I know that the people who cook the breakfast sometimes do this. So I could at least get in the kitchen early to make sure I wash the pots. And maybe I could think of some recipes that just use potatoes. And just, you know, and just say, hey, Krishna, maybe you just want to eat potatoes today. And then maybe that's, he's just happy eating potatoes.
Well, how could you keep the standard of your offering but still not be disturbed, to be peaceful?
Well, I don't know if I could do that in all circumstances, but I think I could, you know, I think sometimes I would just have to be able to say, well, this is all I can do in this circumstances. I mean, I can't change the circumstances. And I would have to think, well, I just have to be peaceful with the circumstances that are provided.
Well, that's a good start. But maybe you can think of a plan where you can do the best possible offering, and maybe getting some help or planning ahead.
That's an idea. I got some other resources.
Yeah.
You could also ask me whether or not this plan would work other than in the kitchen. Like you know, because is this plan for being peaceful only going to work when I'm in the kitchen? Is it going to work in other circumstances and that kind of thing? And then finally, you want to ask, is this going to have any repercussions? Why don't you assume that it's going to have repercussions and ask what's the cost going to be for me for this?
Okay, so are you just trying to be peaceful just when you're cooking for Krishna, or do you like to be peaceful all the time or other times?
I think I could do this pretty much all the time. I mean, there might be some times when I really have to try to get better facility, and just doing with what I have might not work. I mean, there might be some times when just making do with what's available might not be the best plan. But I think most of the time that would be a good idea.
Would this be a lot of extra endeavor? Can you fit this into your life without too much disturbance? Because, you know, you have another life, you have a family to look after as well. So how are you going to balance all that?
You might even ask just in a general way, what would be the cost for you? Well, one cost of doing this is that if I just use what's available, then the town president might yell at me if I just make potato subji all the time. Another cost is that, you know, I have to be careful that I don't feel resentful. You know, if I have to go in early and wash the pots myself, I have to make sure that I do that happily. You know, that I'm actually able to say that it's okay, it's Krishna's arrangement. That I don't feel upset that I've got to now spend an extra hour in the kitchen, that I've got to plan an extra hour in the kitchen. And if I have to do that on a regular basis, then I might have to go to the temple commander and say, you know, Prabhu, I don't know if I can do this anymore. If it starts being a regular thing, then I might have to change my service. I'm really not sure. But I think as a general rule, I probably could do that. Do you get some idea of how this works? Thank you very much. Okay, we have 10 minutes.